listening to Advocate Radio, and this is the Lake Highlands podcast for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2010. It's election day. If you haven't voted, you should vote now. And we're not going to talk about elections, though, today. We're going to stay away from politics. Yes, we are tired of talking about politics. We are going to talk about students. There's been a couple of posts on the Back Talk Lake Highlands blog that have generated quite a few hits and discussion. One has to do with Four Loko, which if you haven't heard about, you should read the blog, and we're also going to talk about more about that, as well as what really makes a good school in this classic issue of parent involvement. So we'll start with Four Loko. Carol, you posted about this. Tell us a little bit about what this is and why we should care.
Well, I'd like to think I have my finger on the pulse of the community so much that I knew that there had been an incident with Four Loko in Lake Highlands, but I did not. I've got three kids in college, one recent graduate. When the stories were coming on the local and national news about this drink Four Loko, it concerned me. And I did a little investigating, and I wanted to share what I had found out, and so I wrote about it. Four Loko is a drink. It's got alcohol and caffeine and sugar in one can. It's 23 ounces. You can buy it at 7-Eleven or lots of places. It looks a lot like a punchy beverage. You know, these days at 7-Eleven, ice boxes are full of all different kinds of things. You can't tell from the outside just by glancing at it. Your kid could be holding one, and it's hard to tell what it really is. But kids are drinking it. Kids know. There's been a lot of incidents in colleges where kids, it's easy to drink too much of it because it just tastes punchy, kind of like a Red Bull. Mm. And it's easy to, you know, in a 23-ounce can, have a can or two or three and really be seriously impaired. And what the medical people are saying is that the caffeine boost and the sugar boost masks the effects in your body of the alcohol. So the drinker who's waiting for the feeling that they're intoxicated, it doesn't feel that feeling because these agents are all acting together. Four Loko, F-O-U-R, relates to four of the ingredients that are in it. That's where the name comes from. After I wrote the post on Wednesday, I had some parents call, email, text, and talk to me in person about their concern about it. Unbeknownst to me, there had actually been an incident at Lake Highlands High School at homecoming with some kids that were drinking it, and one of the kids had to be hospitalized. And the poster of the first comment said it was a Lake Highlands High School junior, which is scary to think. You know, my post had kind of been that the college kids are drinking it, and if you're sending your senior off to college visits with some of their buddies, just understand they may be exposed to this. And, it was concerning to me to hear that there were some participants in the junior class who were drinking it at homecoming, and one child had to be hospitalized. And, you know, I think that's a scary thing for all of us. There was a study that came out yesterday, that a study out of Britain that alcohol is more dangerous than illegal drugs like heroin and crack and crystal meth. They analyzed all the different effects from the effect on your body to how addictive it is to the property damage and all different factors, and said alcohol was more dangerous than all of those. So, you know, and we've talked on the blog here before and on the podcast about teenage drinking and all of that. We talked before about the difference between parents who are furnishers of the alcohol and the law and order parents who search the bags and, you know, sniff the breath, and then the ones that fall in the middle with kind of don't ask, don't tell. I think this is one issue where all the different groups agree that this drink just poses some unique hazards, especially to young drinkers who, you know, tastes like fruity punch to them, and so they don't understand how problematic it could be. One of the positives has been some of the parents have discussed this with their kids. And one parent told me the kids said, oh, yeah, you know, we were drinking that. You know we can't drink at the school at homecoming, and we know we can't drink at the party where the adults are supervising. So we got to have something we can drink right quick, you know, on the way from here to there or in the bathroom or whatever, because we know we're being watched. So as we said before, kids are sneaky. And so it's just one of those things that I think is good for the community to be discussing. The negative to the fact that a lot of parents have been discussing with their children is the kids are mad about the mommies getting involved in their business. And so there's been some discussion along those lines. So, but, you know, this is one of those issues that I think we just have to stand up and say that's the job of being a parent. And even if my kid is mad at me over it, I'd rather see him mad at me than at a service at the church. And you know, I think it's just that dangerous.
I was really surprised at the picture of the, because as you were saying, the can doesn't look like it has an alcoholic drink in it. It looks more like a can of soda pop or something. So that apparent, I really do believe that some of that marketing, well, the marketing on the can is meant to be a little deceptive, whether it's to pitch it to younger kids or to deceive other adults who might be supervising but not recognize what the can has in it. And I guess I'm really a little bit shocked, not that kids are drinking it, but that they feel they have so much clout as far as coming down on their parents for getting in their quote-unquote business. I think maybe these kids have thought they found something that would be, maybe they would have this little ability to have these little cans for a while, but now parents are wise to it. Well, gee, that's really too bad, isn't it? I just don't understand where kids would have so much even nerve. Am I just naive?
It was college parent weekend for one of my sons this weekend. I was talking to him. He's a freshman, and even he said, "Mom, those kids shouldn't be drinking that." And you know, he's just a freshman. It's not like he's, you know, he's talking like he's 35. But he said, "Mom, they really shouldn't be drinking that." Interestingly, he had read my post. He never reads my stuff. Could not be less interested in my stuff. And he somehow found it. And he said, you know, we need to go back to Lake Highlands at Thanksgiving and tell these guys they need to not be drinking that stuff.
Well, I think one other thing that may be good about it is that at least there's an open dialogue now between the parents and kids over something that, if this is something that brings to light that kids have an unrealistic expectation of what their drinking rights are, then so be it.
Yeah, it's the drinking issue, obviously something we've talked about, something that we'll talk about again, I'm sure. It's a constant. I mean, alcohol is out there and kids can get it. I had a conversation with my little brother before he went to college about drinking and said, you know, there's a reason why the law says 21, right? You know, I mean, I realize that's not necessarily realistic, but just kind of understanding the consequences of that. And I was actually going to ask you about that study. Did it mean alcohol in general is more dangerous, or alcohol in abuse of? Did it make a distinction, or did it say that alcohol in general?
You know, they were talking about alcohol in excess, but they were talking about how quickly alcohol can become addictive. You know, it can go from social drinking to excess in people who have a tendency towards addiction. It's a British study, so I laughed at their immediate reference to football, which of course by that they mean soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about the propensity of the soccer fans to drink alcohol and lots of it at soccer games, and that's kind of a socially accepted place and situation where they basically start drinking at sunup on soccer game days, and they all walk to the stadium, so at least they're not driving, and then they're, you know, drinking all through the game and all at the pubs after and walking home. But it's a, for them, getting drunk on soccer game day is just a national pastime.
Right. Maybe similar to college tailgating kinds of days.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. Well, along the same, maybe not about alcohol, but when we're talking about students, and another topic that's come up recently on the blog is education, and can we educate students without parental involvement? Ellen, I'll go to you first. What do you think about this?
Oh, I haven't seen the movie Waiting for Superman. I know that that's part of what prompted, there was an article in the Dallas Morning News and then a letter from a Lake Highlands mom about some ways to improve education. And one of the suggestions was that we really couldn't do it without parental involvement. I think that's one of the answers. I don't think that it would be the entire answer. I think that, our school, the way that we do public school, is really outdated, and there's more than one way to update it. Yes, my job is a full-time job, pretty much keeping sure that what's going on at school with my son is an education. And really, the education is there at the school. I've been really impressed. He's now in the ninth grade. I am really impressed with what is available in the public schools. The other side of that is they've got a lot of kids to get through the schools, and many can go there and not avail themselves of that wonderful education. And really, there's just more than one thing wrong with that. My husband was reading a book, which he's been recommending, so I'll go ahead and say it. It's by Malcolm Gladwell. It's called Outliers. And the entire premise of the book is that if someone is going to get really good at something, it's basically that because they put a lot of time into it. And one of the things that the author concluded about our education system was that when kids go off to summer vacation, a lot of kids who can avail themselves or their parents put them to go to enrichment classes, different camps, those kids do not lose ground. But other kids go off on summer vacation and they're out of school and they're out of touch with learning. And then when they come back to school, they never really do catch up. And this happens summer after summer. Comparing us to other countries, we probably have a shorter school year than most other countries, especially Asia. And really, that's one answer would be to improve education by increasing the amount of time the kids spend in school.
I've also heard year-round education over the years, not obviously 365, but
right.
More like a month off here and a month off there. I've heard arguments for it based on that exact premise.
Well, and speaking of Asian countries who seem to do better than America does in education, that's one of the things that the writer of the letter to the editor mentioned. The letter writer was Dana Bakarian, who's a good friend, and it was fun for me to read what she wrote and think it was brilliant, and then to see her name under there. I did watch Waiting for Superman. I did enjoy it. I thought it made some excellent points. What Dana was saying is stop focusing just on the schools and the teachers and the programs, and the real push has to come from the children. And not to sound too wishy-washy, but can I agree with both sides? But I think parental involvement means different things to different people. Parental involvement meant a different thing to me when it was my firstborn child, my daughter who loved reading and loved school and all of that, and I was very involved. And it meant something different to me when I was on the fourth child, who would rather be stabbed in the eyeball than read a book. And, part of it is just me getting old and tired and thinking, he'll be all right. But I think some people, parental involvement means sitting down with them to do their homework all the way through the 12th grade, and if they can't quite do it, I'll do it for them. I disagree with that way of thinking. Other people think parental involvement goes all the way to hosting the parties and furnishing the alcohol. So that's the opposite extreme. There are people who have written the child's college application essay. There are people who are making the physics project. You know, I don't know where parental involvement should stop and where it should start. And I think everybody feels differently about that. You know, how far do you push until you're just building a wall between you and your child? That's just a hard line to find. I know I'm in a prayer group where we pray for our college and working kids. And what we pray for every week is, how do I figure out what my role is as a mother now that they're, you know, in college or beyond? When do I say something? When do I not say something? When do I, you know, give advice? When do I not give advice? It's really hard. And high school is kind of that middle ground. You know, if they're not making good grades and finishing the college apps or in time and all that, speaking of which, there's a big deadline yesterday for a lot of the early admission college apps. If the kid doesn't complete that and meet those deadlines, who pays? We can say, well, the kid pays because he doesn't get into his college of choice. But if he was going to go to UT or Texas A&M, which tuition rates are lowish, and instead of that, he has to go to SMU, TCU, or Baylor, where the tuition rates are uber, mega high, who's paying for that? Well, it may be dad who writes the check, and the tuition is four times what it would have been, and the kid's going to have just as great a time and perhaps get just as great an education. But, you know, then it was just a money thing. So there is a place for parental involvement. I can't figure out where the line is.
Oh, my word, Carol. I think you just encapsulated every single dilemma right in that discussion.
Well, I do have a comment, though. I think that along the spectrum of everything that you described, there is a very low level. And that is where I think probably the article writer and the letter writer were, and some of the teachers are having some difficulties in that. Just make sure the kid understands you would like his homework done, understands that you are interested in whether or not they pass or fail, or interested in whether they stay in school, not just because somebody says so, but because, or even because you say so, but because there are good reasons for it and you discuss it with your kids. That is a pretty low level of, it doesn't seem like it's too much to wish for, and I do understand that. And on the other hand, I understand the dilemma of two working parents who work shift jobs, who almost never get the time to spend with their kids, and when they do, they don't want to be hassling them with homework. So it really is tough, I think, for some families. So I don't know the exact answer. I do think our school system could use some updating as far as the bells and the, you know, sort of factory mindset of it all. And there are people working on that, trying to improve it.
I think it's interesting. I have not watched Waiting for Superman yet. I would like to see the movie. But I think what's been more interesting than the movie itself is the fact that it's raising questions. And I think probably the movie maker or the documentary maker had some ideas in mind of what the answer is. But what has been interesting is it ended up raising lots of questions and maybe, hopefully, a lot of different answers. You know, the hard thing about what both of you are getting at is there's no black and white. There's no hard and fast, this is the formula. Every kid is different. Every family is different. Every situation is different. Every school is different. You have to kind of figure out the balance, and that's a constant, I think, negotiation and navigation. I think there's no doubt, we've done stories about all kinds of schools, not only in Lake Highlands, but in the various neighborhoods we cover over the years, and it seems as if every time I do a story and I ask what makes this school great, or, you know, we've done stories about schools in the same district that are not too far away from each other, and everyone wants to go to this elementary school and no one wants to go to this elementary school, and that's the case in Lake Highlands as well in some cases. Why is that? When you ask at the end of the day why that is, it's because parents are sending their kids to this particular school and are engaged in some way in this particular school, that seems to be a key factor, at least in the perception of the school. Beyond that, I think you're right, Ellen, that there's got to be some base level in which the parents care. You know, they want their kids to do well in school, and they somehow foster that with whatever means they have. I'm not just talking about monetary, but time. I mean, time is as big of a factor as anything, and you only have so much. What do you do with it? That's got to be difficult. And there's part of me that says, okay, yes, the ideal is parent involvement. Yes, we want every parent to be involved and invested in their kids' education. I think we can safely say that's never going to be the reality.
Exactly.
So then what? And that's the question. Where does then the community come in? Where's the school system come in? How do we do that? And that's, you know, I'm very interested. One of the speakers or interviewees in Waiting for Superman was Jeffrey Canada, mm-hmm. Harlem Children's Project. I'm extremely interested in what he has to say in the studies that he's done and the impact they're making in Harlem. They're getting to parents, and they're getting to parents before kids ever come out of the womb.
Yeah.
That's interesting, but you would need a Jeffrey Canada here, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know?
You'd need a Jeffrey Canada in every school.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Exactly.
Well, but attitudes can change, mm-hmm. and approaches can change, and they can be sort of nationwide. I mean, they do change about all kinds of things, so it's possible.
Well, and I do want to stress what I know all three of us agree. There are some great teachers out there
doing
some fabulous work. And I think the good news is, particularly in Lake Highlands, even a child with absolutely no support at home, if they're going to school, they're picking up something.
Absolutely.
And there's a base level that even if they're never reading the book and never doing the homework, you know, 7 hours a day in a Lake Highlands school, 5 days a week, they're getting something.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And, you know, every year we do stories in the spring about students who have just kind of overcome the odds to succeed. It always amazes me. And I know, you know, the Lake Highlands Women's League and the Lake Highlands Exchange Club every year give scholarships to those same kinds of students who have just, you know, overcome odds, whether it's had to work a full-time job and go to school or moved here 2 years ago and had to learn a whole new language or, you know, whatever it might be. It is amazing what students are able to do if someone believes in them. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty essential. In fact, if it's okay, well, as we move to shameless plugs, I'm going to plug that. We are already, I know it's November, but we are already starting to look for some of these students. They're graduating seniors who are near the top of their class. They don't have to be the top, but you know, we're looking for higher GPAs who have really overcome odds to succeed, and we are open to suggestions. You can send those to editor@advocatemag.com. And let's talk about shameless plugs in another realm, I think, today.
Well, I wanted to talk about putting a bug in your ear to look for, to keep an eye on your health. It's kind of coming into cold and flu season. And I recently had a situation where I, you know, kind of had some intense pain pop up all of a sudden on one side of my body and thought, oh, well, I've twisted my back or something. And then followed about 4 days later by a rash in the same spot, thought no big deal. I wish I had known that those were the typical signs of shingles. I thought shingles was an old lady disease, and it never occurred to me that that was what I would have. So for everybody who is caring for an elderly parent, definitely look for that. But know that it can have. I had a friend who told me her 15-year-old daughter got it. So if you all of a sudden, or your mother or your friend, has pain on one side followed a few days later by a rash, don't wait to see a doctor, because it's kind of like taking Tamiflu at the beginning of your flu. There's some antivirals you can take at the beginning of shingles to help it go away faster and have a less of a long-lasting effect. It really can be a very serious thing. If you get it around your head, you can result in blindness or lots of different things. So you want to know what that is as quick as possible.
Do you know, can I ask you if you know about the the vaccine.
There is a vaccine. I've been told it's not available till you're 60. The good news is I'm long away from that.
Those ads in the grocery store.
I forgot all about this.
I hate those ads in the grocery store. I don't want to hear about shingles when I'm shopping for food. However, and I don't hear them very much lately. Maybe they've backed off a little. But I kept thinking, well, I'm over 50. Maybe I'm older than you. But that I kept thinking, doggone. And not only that, but they're making me feel guilty that I'm not getting this thing because it seemed like I was eligible.
Hmm.
Well, I do think the way it's been explained to me, your insurance won't pay for the vaccine until you're over 60. It may be that you can get it. You just may have to pay for it.
Okay.
We'll do some resources.
So do you know, though, if it's like a flu vaccine, do you have to get it every year, or does it last for a while?
I don't know. I'll do some research on that. Yeah.
I've heard that shingles is the adult form of chicken pox.
Well, if you've had chicken pox.
Right.
As a child, that virus is still dormant in your...
And could
yes.
pop up again.
And the good news is the kids today aren't getting chicken pox. They're having
because they're getting vaccinated.
And so they're never having it. So they won't be subjected to shingles. So there's just this generation in here that had chicken pox as a child. And after that, hopefully shingles will be gone.
There you go.
But... it is cold and flu season coming on us, so wash your hands, sanitize your hands, and don't touch a baby's hand.
Yes, this was my shameless plug. I told Carolyn Ellen before we started. By the way, washing hands is still better than antibacterial, from what I understand. But you know, either in a pinch, using antibacterial gel. My daughter was born about 15 months ago, and... it was right before swine flu, and swine flu just freaked me out as a new parent. My husband's a pediatrician, and I just knew he was going to get it and come home with it, and then we were all going to get it, and I was just scared to death. That's mostly my own paranoia issues. But it was funny because every time I took her out somewhere and people greeted her, they immediately reached for her hand, and that... I mean, I know that's natural because, you know, a little baby, and they like to grasp your little finger... But during cold and flu season, that just scared me because the first thing she did after letting go of that person's hand was stick it in her mouth. And, of course, if you're sick and you don't even know it yet, then, you know, I was just nervous about everybody giving my daughter swine flu. So pat babies on the little leg or pat their little head with the hat on it. But don't grasp their hands unless you've been given permission by mother or father. Just my little shameless plug. The other one about kids, because kids are... you know, they even say don't cough into your hand. Don't cough and sneeze into your hands. Actually, you're supposed to cough and sneeze into your elbow. And it's kind of hard to teach kids this. So last year, as my husband was explaining this in his practice to different parents, one of the mothers said, show them how you cough like Elmo. And the little girl coughed into her elbow. So apparently there's this Elmo video for if you have young kids and you're trying to teach them how to cough and sneeze the right way. Elmo is a better teacher than any of us because kids will pay attention to Elmo in ways they will not pay attention to adults. So I'll link to that on this post too because it's just a good one to have.
Adults could watch it too.
Adults,
coughing out into the air.
Yes. Elmo can educate us all, but especially children. That's a good thing. And shots this year.
Right. The flu shot, it's good, better than last year when you had to get two. You can get one shot this year, and it will be effective towards the regular seasonal flu and the swine flu. And even if you yourself, I'm someone who's really never, knock on wood, never really had a bad flu, but there can be, I could spread the disease, and I'd rather not do that, so I'm going to get it.
Thank you, Ellen, for your vaccination.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Lake Highlands Podcast from Advocate Radio.